Welcome to the second half of Pastor David Menard's message on Daniel 11, God's Sovereignty Over the Nations, Part 2. In the first half of Part 2, we examined the historical fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy through the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes and how his actions foreshadowed the coming Antichrist. In the second half, we'll pick up at verse 32 to explore how God empowers his people to stand strong and carry out great exploits in the face of evil. Let's continue this powerful journey through Scripture and discover how these truths apply to our lives today.
Take a look at verse 32. Look at how it describes him. I love this. Verse 31, it ends with this abomination of desolation, this idol being set up and pig's blood being spit on it. Verse 32, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. In other words, the Jews that go along with what Antiochus wants, he's going to corrupt them with flattery and bribes and give them promotions. Look at this and underline this. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out, read it with me, what are those two words? Great exploits. You know what I want? I want that to be me. You know what I want? I want that to be the Mission Church. You know what I want? I want that to be you. And forget what I want. The only reason I want it is because what? That's what God wants. Look what God says. But the people who know their God from reading their Bible, from eating their broccoli and spinach in Daniel 11, they will be strong and they will carry out great exploits in a world full of sin and evil and deceptive ideologies that the average person can't see through. Wow. We could just go home right there, right? Like, that's like, don't you want, how many of you want to be that man, that woman? How many of you? I'm asking, like, how many? That's me. Like, can I raise my feet too? I mean, I'll raise everything I got. Mattathias Maccabees led the Maccabean revolt, and ultimately it took 7 years. But the good news is he restored the temple in only 3 years. And on the 25th of Kislev, 164 BC, the temple was cleansed. Just amazing. I love this. Let's read it again. Let's read it out loud together, starting with the word but. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand, those who know God's ways, those who know God's words, shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall what? Fall by the sword and by flame. Yeah, something, they got burned to death, we know. And by captivity and by plundering. Oh my goodness. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with little help. That's a nice way of saying they're not going to get any help. But many shall join them by intrigue. What does that mean? These people that are fighting the battle, many of their brothers, their Jewish brothers and sisters, will join them, but by intrigue. What will they say? What does that mean? What does intrigue mean? It means trickery. They're going to say, we're with you, but when it comes time to stand, what are they going to do? They're not going to stand with you. And look at verse 35. And some of those of understanding, some of those who know God's ways and fight for it, shall fall to refine them, to purify them, and to make them white. What's that? What's going to happen to them? They're going to die. This is a picture of the tribulation period. When the Jewish genocide comes, the Jews are going to be slaughtered. And those who stand for truth are going to be killed. That's why Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, let the reader understand. Do not go back into your house. Don't go get your coat. Don't go get your jacket. Don't say, hang on, I got to get my photo album. Because if you do, you're going to be killed. And pray that your flight be not on the in the winter or on the Sabbath and pray that you're not pregnant and nursing baby because you're not going to make it. Massive genocide in the tribulation period. Those were Jesus' words verbatim, by the way. I lost my spot. What verse are we? I can't ask you. You're all giving me different numbers. Verse 35, thank you. And some of those with understanding shall fall to refine them, to purify them, and to make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. Interesting. So impressive to see how all this worked out, right? That this one man would stand for truth and have a nation fight against them. And they did incredible things. They used guerrilla war tactics, the Maccabeans and all the men that they trained. And they had deep knowledge of the terrain. And the Maccabees, they scored incredible victories against this mighty Seleucid army. They were vastly outnumbered. There is no way in the world they should have ever won. And against impossible odds, God's divine favor was upon them. And the Maccabees did amazing things that were really smart, like they cut off the supply chain to the Seleucid army's food and water and those kind of things. And they would position themselves in these territories where as the Maccabean troops would come through in their various platoons, they would be stationed in a way where they could just take off platoon after platoon after platoon. And they just had amazing exploits. It was just amazing. And after 1 year of fighting in 160 BC, Mattathias Maccabees dies in battle. The ruler of the leader of the Maccabean revolt, he dies at 1 year into this thing. And if you were there, all of Israel got so discouraged. And all of Israel said, what do you think they said? God, what are you? What are you doing? God, what are you doing? I mean, our general just got killed. God, why didn't you protect him? Where are you? I mean, this is hard. We already got guys dying, and now our general dies, and Israel was very discouraged. But do you know what happened when Mattathias Maccabees died? His son, Judas Maccabees, stepped out in faith and embraced the call of God upon his life. And he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And he comes to the men of Israel, and he says, men, where was your faith? In my father or in God? It wasn't my dad leading this. We are not on my dad's team. We are on God's team. I want you to know, church, the mission church, God is not on our team. We are on his. When we take these stands against evil, we're not asking God to stand with us. We are standing with him. Big difference. Big difference. And God allowed Mattathias Maccabees to be killed. And he gave strength to Judas Maccabees, his son, to stand in faith. And all eyes got turned off a man and onto the true and living God. And they continued with just great blessings as Judas Maccabees steps up in faith and led the movement with skill, determination, and God's great favor. And remarkably, in 164 BC, after 3 years of fighting, Judas Maccabees and his men recaptured Jerusalem from the mighty Seleucid army. They purified the temple and they remade all the things that Antiochus had stolen. They remade the altar. They remade all the vessels in the tabernacle, and they restored the worship of God. They cleansed the temple and they restored the worship of God. Just amazing. Now, it says, many of them died that they might be refined in white. I want you to know something. This life that we're living, I want you to have the proper perspective on it. This life that you're living, this life that we're living, was designed by God. And it is for one chief purpose and one chief purpose only. This is your courtship. There is a wedding. There is a bridegroom. There is a bride. And he is in love with you. And he has made you. And he has manifest his love. He has shown his love. God so loved the world that he became a man. He gave his only begotten son. He went to a cross to take away our sins that we might be freely forgiven to all who ask. And you say, there's no way God could love me that much. And understanding the depth of that love is the beginning of this divine romance. And once we understand, like, my gosh, God loves me this much, then we're changed and we go, well, then I want to know a God who loves me this much. And this relationship begins. And we stumble and we blow it and we get dirty and we make mistakes. And he says, no problem, I forgive you. Now walk with me. No problem, I forgive you. Now walk with me. And he brings us on. And we're just in awe of his love for us. But the purpose of this is to say, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And your life may last how long? 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, that is a blip. We are reading history that was millennia ago. And I want you to know something. You will live for eternity, one way or the other. How will you respond to this amazing love that God has put upon you? And if that you stand up for faith and you die, what have you lost? Nothing. Do you think Mattathias Maccabees was bummed out when he stood before God? Great is your reward. Great is your reward. Pay attention to what is happening here and what are you afraid of? Take a look at this verse. Look at Jesus' words, Matthew 10, 28. Read this with me in a unified voice. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Wow. Church, it is time for us to stand up for biblical truth. It is time for us to stand up and do the right things. Many people are too afraid to stand up for biblical truth. I have a question for you. What are you afraid of? And I would actually like to hear from you right now. What are you afraid of? Afraid to be ridiculed. There's a lot of things we're afraid of. It's real. Let's be honest. It's real. Ridicule. What else? To be alienated, to lose family. What else? Job loss. What else? Okay. What else? A lot of things that we can be afraid of, but may I remind you, do not fear those who can kill the body. Now, I want you to know, you're not going to be killed. You're being afraid over trivial small things. Well, I don't want to say that in front of my neighbor because then my neighbor won't like me. Really? Who are you standing with then? You see, God is not on your team. You're either on his or you're not on his. And look what he says. Don't be afraid those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who can do that? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Rest of the verse. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Answer. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't a chicken $5 at Costco? and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus is saying, listen, two sparrows fall to the ground, it's because God allowed it. And are you not, if there's a chicken at Costco for $5, it's because God allowed it. Are you not more valuable than many chickens at Costco? Every time you go to Costco now, I want you to remember this. What am I afraid of? If a chicken can't go to Costco without God's sovereignty being involved, then I don't have what? Anything to worry about. If God is for me, who can be against me? And this world confuses our mind, clouds our vision. We forget. We don't. And here Jesus saying, hey, remember. I know it's hard to stand up for biblical truth, but remember, a chicken doesn't go to Costco without God knowing about it. And you are way more valuable than a rotisserie chicken. Rest of the verse. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. I tell you what, this is the greatest deal in the universe. This is the deal of all deals. If you take a stand, Jesus is saying, for biblical truth, if you take a stand for my will, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And I'll say, Lord, he's mine. He's cleansed. She's cleansed. Yeah, I know they did this wrong. I know they did this wrong. I know this. But you know what? They stood for truth. They believed in me. And they stood for what was right. And you know, that's the best deal in the world. But look what else Jesus says. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And you know what the world thinks? You know what the evil ideologies of the world believe? Well, didn't just Jesus say you're supposed to love everybody? Didn't Jesus say you're not supposed to judge anybody? No, Jesus never said that, by the way. You should judge rightly by the word of God. And if you think Jesus just came to say, kumbaya, you can be whatever you want to be, and it's all okay. Jesus says, you've got another thing coming. I didn't come to bring kumbaya. I came to die on a cross for your sins, that you might understand my love and be transformed and leave your sin and follow me. That's why I came. And you either stand up for me and uphold biblical truth, or you deny me. That puts a different perspective to this whole thing, doesn't it? And why am I saying all this? I'm not trying to browbeat you. I am trying to inspire you to remember the truth and to be men and women who stand for biblical truth and do great exploits in a world that is against God. You know who I want us to be? I want us to be verse 32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And the people who have understanding shall instruct many. I tell you what, there has never been a more important time to stand for biblical truth than today. 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a teacher at an elementary school. Hear my words. I did not say a university. I said what? Elementary school. And this teacher told me I was ignorant and I was evil and I was harming children because I am against the idea of elementary school-aged children choosing their own gender. And you know what she said? You don't know what you're talking about. I work at the school. You're an idiot. She didn't say that, but she's implying. You're an idiot, and I know what's going on. And you're harming these children. May I remind you of something? If we don't stand for biblical truth, the whole world will be lost in that deception. May I remind you of something? This is what a lost world does. I'm not against them. I want to help them to see the true and living God and how glorious his ways are, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And all who come to me, I will in no ways cast out. And he who comes to me will find life and life abundantly. But know this, it is time to stand for biblical truth, for we are living in the days of Isaiah 5. Take a look at Isaiah 5 on your screens. Read this with me. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We are calling evil good, and we are calling good evil. And it is time for us as a church to stand as men and women individually, as God's people, to stand for biblical truth, to be a Mattathias Maccabees, to be a Judas Maccabees, and not to be afraid to stand. We've got to hurry. There is no doubt that Antiochus fulfills this prophecy in Daniel 11, which is remarkable, by the way. Daniel gave this prophecy in 536 BC, and Antiochus was in 164 BC. Think of that. Think of that. Just almost 400 years. But I want you to know, verse 35 throws a crazy kink into this prophecy, because it says that this text is not only referring to Antiochus, it's also referring to the last days. Look at verse 35 with me. And some of those with understanding shall fall, to refine them, to purify them, and to make them white, until the time of what? The end. For it is still for an appointed time. He's saying this prophecy actually goes all the way to the very end of time before Jesus comes back to judge the earth. Crazy. Furthermore, 200 years, think of this, let me have your attention. 200 years after Antiochus Epiphanes slaughtered a pig in the holy temple and set up the abomination of desolation, that altar of Zeus. 200 years after that, Jesus comes along and emphatically teaches that the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, which they all thought was fulfilled 200 years ago, Jesus said it was future. Jesus said it hadn't happened yet. And they all said, well, what about Antiochus Epiphanes? And Jesus would say, that was only a preview. And Daniel here, God would say the same thing. Listen, this is until the time of when? The end. And so here is something very interesting. Every verse from this point on is still future prophecy about the Antichrist to come. Everything from here forward is about the future. Antiochus, with his great oration skills and his deceptive talks of peace and his radical anti-Semitism and his abomination of desolation in the temple that led to the Jewish genocide where hundreds of thousands were killed, all of this is just a prophetic foreshadow of what is going to come in Israel. It will be Israel's last seven-year period, or Israel's last Shabuah, if you will, if you remember from Daniel 9, before Jesus returns. This prophecy up till now has been about Antiochus as a foreshadow of the Antichrist, and from verse 36 on, we leave Antiochus, and it's only about the Antichrist. Let's see if we can wrap up with this passage of Scripture. Then, I want you to circle the word then. When is then? Draw a little line, circle then, and draw an arrow back to until the time of the end. So the then is what time? The time of the end. At the time of the end, the king, the Antichrist, shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods. He's going to go against Islam. He's going to go against Mormonism. He's going to go against Jehovah's Witness. He's going to go against Buddhism. He's going to go against all of them. Not originally. In the beginning, what's he going to do? He's going to embrace all those. But when he gets power, then he's going to turn against those. Sound familiar? And he's even going to turn against the God of gods. That's the true of living God. And he shall prosper till the end of his wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. God is sovereign over all things. And look at this. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall, read this with me, exalt himself above them all. He's going to exalt himself to be God. The Antichrist is going to present himself as God. Just amazing. Take a look at this. There's some interesting things that are said here. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers. The God there is capital G, the true and living God, and his fathers. That would be Jewish. And it is quite possible, this is implying, that the Antichrist might be of Jewish descent. We know he won't be of Islamic descent because the Jews would never receive him as their Messiah. But the Jews will receive the Antichrist as their Messiah. And here it says, he will not regard the God, Yahweh, of his fathers, nor will he... Nor the desire of women. What do you think that means? Be a homosexual. That might be what it means, but very probable he will be a homosexual, but I don't think that's what this is saying. It might be, but I don't think that's what this is saying. This is written at 586 BC. During that time, the desire of women, of Jewish women, was to bring the Messiah to the earth. The desire of women was to fulfill Isaiah 7:14. The virgin shall conceive and give a birth, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, right? That was the desire of every Jewish woman, the Messiah. And I believe what this is saying here is, read 37 again. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, the Jewish God, nor the desire of women, the Messiah to come, nor any God, because he's going to exalt himself above them all. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses. That's an interesting phrase. And I believe it means he's going to set himself up as God, and then he's going to honor power or military might. This God of fortresses is an interesting phrase. It may even mean some future power that we don't know yet, like AI power and AI weapons to sway a whole world under his control. I want you to know right now, ChatGPT is really cool. It's amazing. Great study tool. But it will be used to bring a propaganda against the whole world very soon. Don't get too addicted to it. Be wise. I need to move on. Crying out loud. We got a service in 7 minutes. Can I just ask you, what is my problem, right? I need therapy. And I am so thankful that you put up with me. I really am. I thank you. Let's see if we can finish this. Don't applaud that, please. Crying out loud. Look at this. This God of fortresses, whatever it is, he will honor with gold, silver, precious stones, and pleasant things. He will set himself up to be God, and he will take all the wealth of all the nations and put them into military power. Wow. And thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses. With a foreign God, he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. He's going to set himself up and propel his glory over all people. And he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Interesting. a lot I want to tell you. Verse 36 through the end is all future events. The last 7 years of Israel's history. And I want you to think about this. Stay with me. For so far in Daniel 11, we've looked at hundreds of prophecies already. And all these prophecies have given detailed info that was fulfilled perfectly by historical kings, one after another. And from verse 36 on, we have nothing in history that fulfills anything that's mentioned here. Not even close to fulfilling any of this that we just read. And here's the question I have for you. Why did God skip 2,000 years of human history? He gave us detailed history all the way up to Antiochus Epiphanes, which was right at the time of Rome, right at the time when Jesus comes. Why does he give us detailed history for centuries, all the way up to Antiochus Epiphanes, and then skip 2,000 years of history in this prophecy? How interesting. Why does he skip 2,000 years of church history and not mention any prophecies about it at all? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Here's why. Because God said this prophecy was about the 70 Shabuah of Israel. Or in other words, the 70 seven-year periods of Israel. You'll remember Daniel 9 was about the 70 seven-year periods, or about 490 years of Israel's history. And God foretold in Daniel 9, you'll remember, that after 483 years, right on the day of 483 years of Israel's history, the Messiah will present himself to Israel. And then he will be murdered, but not for himself, for the sins of the people. And the clock stopped. Jesus cursed the fig tree, put Israel in time out, you'll remember. And that time clock for Israel stopped. And the church age is in that time gap in between. And now he tells us about, he skips all 2,000 years of history and goes right back to where that set one last Shabuah, that one last seven-year period of Israel's history. They rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Israel rejected Jesus Christ, and it stopped the clock. They will accept the Antichrist, and it will start the clock. And it will be Israel's last 7 years. And Daniel gives us no prophecy about that 2,000-year period, because this prophecy is about the 490 years of Israel, not about the church. And the church age and Israel's age are distinct and separate from each other. Oh, gosh, I got too much to tell you. We'll have to pick it up here. Sorry. I don't even know how to land the plane in Daniel 11. This has been the tough chapter to teach. Thanks for hanging in there with me. I want to encourage you. God is sovereign over all the nations. Then he's sovereign over your life. You can trust him. And do not be afraid of all the things that are coming against you. They're nothing. The true and living God is for you. And if a chicken isn't sold at Costco without his sovereignty, he's got your protection under his arms. Do not be afraid. And may we stand for God. And may we do those who do great exploits in faith of the true and living God. Amen? God bless you. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a message from Pastor David Menard. You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.